be glad to stand redeemed.
Praise the Lord. Very thankful for that. We have a wonderful Savior, no doubt about it. It's good to see Miss Rita Cole here today, too. She's recovering from her surgery. I tell you, we've had a bunch of knee surgeries shoulder surgeries. We got other surgeries lined up coming up. And so look here, I think we just need to have a good prayer this morning to make sure we're not one of them that has to have surgery. I don't want surgery. How many of y'all like to have surgery? No. Well, let's pray that we don't have to. But we need to pray for all these folks that are. Would you open your precious Bible this morning to the book of 1 Peter? Now, we're gonna jump around a little bit. My sister possibly might have to have surgery here coming up. And maybe mom. And so we've got others. And I thank God, though, for the technology we have today, aren't you? And I'm glad we have a God, though, that is the great physician and touches all of that. We're going to jump around a little bit today, and I'm going to slow down. That doesn't mean I'm going to preach any longer. I do want to slow down and not get so fast towards the end. I do recognize what time it is. It's an absolute sin to give a pastor 55 minutes to preach. I should have heard something right there. I guess that's why I just heard that low grumble like, "Dear Lord, please help him, don't." I know, yep. And I know that everybody here loves preaching. Amen. Appreciate the three. First Peter, we're going to look at a couple of passages of Scripture. And I want to do some teaching today. Some folks have the idea when you attend a church like this, you don't get a lot of teaching. I think you get the best teaching. Not because I do it, but we have some wonderful teachers here that are skilled and seasoned in the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 2 this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2. Someone might say, "Well, why do y'all do things the way you do them?" Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I believe it's Bible. Amen. I believe it's Bible. I think when people have ideas about how to run a church, they shouldn't have their own opinions about that. They ought to seek what the Bible teaches. Who ordained the church? God did. He created the church, not man. No pastor created the church. No man come with any idea. "Oh, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll gather together a certain amount of times a week and we'll just preach and pray and sing." No, God ordained that. He created that. And by the way, we do a lot of things because they're man-made. I'm not against that. Someone say, "Well, we don't have service on Wednesday. We have it on Thursday." Well, I think that's great. I just think you ought to have them. Whenever, but have them. The Bible says in the Acts chapter 5, the Bible teller, Acts chapter 20, that they continued every day, steadfast, daily in every house. They taught and preached Jesus Christ. So we have this idea that, "Oh, I'll tell you right now, a church that has three services a week, man, I'll tell you, well, that's a little much." Well, you wouldn't have been comfortable in the New Testament then. They had it every day. So I hope we'll get back to the Bible. I hope all of you young people are listening to me this morning and you'll realize what the Bible teaches. It's what the Bible teaches. Not what so-and-so says, not so matter what this folks, but what does the Bible teach? That is so very important. And we're going to look at what the Bible teaches about some topics here, looking at the Word of God as milk and meat. So 1 Peter chapter 2, let's look at verse number 1. "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings," look at verse 2, "as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word." This is powerful, isn't it? "That you may grow thereby." Why should we desire the milk of the Word? Because we will grow thereby. Now, when we think about this passage of Scripture, God likens His Word to milk. So we've been preaching on these metaphors. We've looked at the Word of God as a sword. We've looked at the Word of God as light. We've looked at the Word of God as a mirror. We've looked at the Word of God as seed. We've looked at the Word of God today as milk and strong meat. We're going to look at the other passage here in a moment about strong meat. Now I want you to open your Bible, or just turn a few pages, to 1 Peter chapter 5. Same book, different chapter, 1 Peter chapter 5. And let's look at verse number 1. Here's where I'm going to teach a few moments. And I think this needs to be taught, because we're getting away from biblical principles about a church. And I want you to notice in verse number 1 of 1 Peter chapter 5. Notice what the Bible says. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Now notice verse 2. Feed the flock of God, which is among you. Now I want you to notice the next phrase. Taking the oversight thereof. Taking the oversight thereof. Not dictatorship. That word is beautiful. Take the oversight. In other words, somebody has to have the responsibility to feed the flock. And the Bible says here, elders. Now, we use that word elders interchangeably. Now, please understand this. We can look in 2 Timothy chapter 3 or 1 Timothy chapter 3. And the Bible says, if any man desire the office of a bishop. And then you also find the word of God, the word pastor. He said, I have given some pastors, teachers. Now listen, pastors, bishop, and elder is used interchangeably. They're used interchangeably. Different words, same office. Different word, same office. By the way, we find this in 1 Timothy chapter 3. The Bible says, if a man desires the office of a bishop. But the teaching is true about all three of those different words that are interchangeably used. We use the word pastor. Someone could be called, well, that's the bishop. We don't really use that verse much today or that wording today, but it's a biblical one. And then we know we call people elders. Now, we have to understand these letters were, given and they were to be recycled. They were being distributed to all the Christians. Over there in the book of 2 Timothy, the Bible talked about, or actually in Acts chapter number 20, the Bible talked about the elders that were in every city. So we know that there were several cities, different areas, not just one church. And someone will say, well, y'all are not a scriptural church because you don't have a plurality of elders. No, I believe a scriptural church is someone that has an elder or a pastor or a bishop. Now, we have elders here in this church. They would be men that I would think that no doubt are mature in the Lord. They're mature in the Word. But there is a difference, or the word is used interchangeably. Pastor, bishop, elder. But here's amazing. The responsibility stays the same. Here it is. If you was to look in Acts chapter 20, and he uses the word elder again, if you look in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and the word there is pastor, then we find it here in 1 Peter, the word, what? Elder. The same responsibility, the same description is given to all three of those offices. So the Bible says, what is he to do? He is to take the oversight thereof, not by constraint. In other words, it should not be someone that's constrained to do it, or they have to do it. No, notice what the Bible says, thereof not by constraint, but willingly. Here's someone that God has called, put a desire in their heart. We find that especially in Acts chapter 20. I keep referring to that, but I think it's an amazing chapter. And I want to just read it to you real quick in Acts chapter 20. We know the Bible says that he had called, and we know that he had called the men in, I'm looking at the wrong chapter here. And the Bible says, take heed therefore yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. So when we think of someone that's taking the oversight thereof to feed the flock, listen to me, you're not my flock. I'm not your shepherd, listen to me. He's our shepherd. The Bible says that he has purchased us with his own blood, so we do understand that there's an under-shepherd. We would call that person a pastor or a bishop or an elder, someone that takes the oversight to do what? Feed the flock. In every passage that you see this description of an elder, he's feeding the flock of God. Now, what's he feeding? Now, y'all better thank God that we don't meet here every day and I feed y'all food. Somebody say amen. Because y'all go up out of here starved. Y'all ain't going to eat it because I can't fix pancakes and scrambled eggs every day. But boy, I can do pancakes and scrambled eggs real good. But no, what is he talking about here? That the elder is to feed, the pastor is to feed the flock of God. Feed him what? Well, we just learned there a moment ago in the same book, 1 Peter, feed what? Desire the sincere milk of the word. So I want to deal this morning and tonight on this. We're looking at the word of God as milk and meat. And what should that lead to? Maturity. So here's the message: milk, meat, and maturity. Milk, meat, and maturity. Obviously, milk first. We're going to look at meat in a moment, but then later we'll see the meat, and then we'll talk about maturity. But can I say, we first must understand, if you're going to be fed, if I'm going to be fed, we have to come hungry. Now, I've learned something. I can prepare a delicious meal. My wife can prepare a delicious meal. Some of you ladies can prepare a delicious meal. And I've learned something. That food will never be digested or taken unless the people that you've invited to come is empty. You're not going to help. That food will never be digested physically if you come to the dinner table already full. So here's my first application. I think this is a beautiful analogy about the Word of God. Sadly, I noticed this in our religious circles today and even in America. I've learned some reasons why people aren't feeding on the Word of God because they're already full. Here's some of the things they're already full of. They're already full of themselves. They're full of their self. I'm full of myself. If I'm not going to take of the Word of God because I'm full of myself, my own thoughts, my own desires, my own selfishness, I say, I'm not going to listen to that. That's going to require me to do something. And I'm not going to eat that because I'm too full of myself. Now, I don't know about you. I hope there's no one like that today. I hope you've not walked in this building full of yourself so you won't partake at the dinner table this morning, maybe the brunch table. Full of self. In other words, here's what we do. We stiffen up our neck, say, well, that's good and everything, but that's for somebody else. I ain't going to do that. I'm not going to eat that. I'm not going to digest that. Oh, that might be for pastor, but that's not for me. No, listen to me. Child of God, if you are a child of God and you're a Christian, you ought to want to obey the Lord. Obey. What does he tell me to do? What's he revealed to me to do? Brother Eric mentioned the Sunday school lesson this morning. Very powerful. Talking about a witness makes a difference. That's something God's commanded all of us to do, is to witness to people. But the truth is, many of us don't, because we're too full of ourselves. We ought to obey when the Lord reveals something that we need to do. It's the very next step. We ought to just, yes, Lord. We take that in. Why? Because we don't want to be full of self. Hey, we might not eat. Sometimes we live in a day now where we won't eat. We don't come hungry because we might be full of sin. Now, I just had a conversation with a lady here in the church just a moment ago, and she made this statement, not me. She said, sin will take you farther than you want to go and hold you longer than you want to stay. And I'm going to tell you what else sin will do in this, in the heart of his people, in the heart of someone maybe even here today. I'm going to tell you what your sin will tell you. Oh, I ain't going to listen to none of that holier than thou stuff. That's what sin will tell you. Sin will keep you from listening and not digesting the Word of God. These are words of life, but our sin, if we're so full of sin today, and sometimes you say, well, pastor, are you talking about visible sin? No, it could be hidden sin. You could be struggling with envy today. You could be struggling with hardness in your heart. You could be struggling with selfishness. And listen, nobody knows that sin but you, but sin fills us up so much that we just aren't hungry. So I hope everybody, I think the question should be asked this morning and tonight, how hungry are you? I remember as a boy, man, going hunting with my dad. We used to go grouse hunting. We'd hunt all day long and sometimes big old deep snow. And we get back home and or we get in the truck and I look at my dad and I say, Dad, I'm so hungry I could eat a horse. Now, I've never ate horse meat, amen, but I have a feeling that if I got too hungry and I couldn't have anything else, poor old horsey. His life for mine. You say, well, Pastor, why in the world would you ever do that? Well, by the way, if you got hungry enough, you'll eat anything. And by the way, we get hungry enough, we'll feed on the Word of God. Amen? So my question for y'all is, how hungry are y'all this morning? How hungry are y'all today? I think that'd be the question because we're going to feed on some milk and we're going to look at some meat. But I'm going to tell y'all right now, if you're here this morning and you're not hungry, it ain't going to help you a bit. It ain't going to help me a bit. If I ain't hungry. And I'm going to be honest with y'all, I can't believe living in the world we're living on in the world and we ain't hungry. We're seeing this world dying and going to hell. We see the godless things that's happening in this country. And boy, us old Christians, we just kind of say, well, that's just the way it is, Pastor. Well, I think some Christians ought to get hungry. Hungry for God to work in my family. Hungry for God to help with my children. Well, we're living today where a bunch of Christians are letting the world try to soothe their children. They've just left the Lord right out of there. Why? You say, well, they're not hungry. Why ain't they hungry? Because they're feeding on the things that the world produces. So we can't be full of self. We can't be full of sin. And then I'll tell you something else I've realized why people sometimes won't eat is because they done filled up on sweets. What's them young people, what we do, we tell them, say, no, y'all can't have them sweets. I think of Isaac when he used to stay at our house. The only time he'd ever get all upset is when the sweet bowl downstairs was empty. He'd walk all the way up them steps and say, Aunt Laura, the candy bowl's empty. Why? He wanted them sweets. And by the way, spiritually speaking, I've learned why some people don't like the Word of God because they'd rather fill up on the sweets. We'll have 2 hours of music and 5 minutes of a devotion. And they done filled up on sweets. That's not really going to sustain them. We live in a day where we put so much sweets out there. And we think, oh, well, that's enough. They'll get a little dab right there. That'll be enough. No, we ought to be hungry for the Word. Amen. If we're going to get hungry, we got to watch that sweet intake. How many of y'all diabetic? Y'all better watch that sweet intake. Spiritually speaking, boy, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to tell you what's happening in our country. Our country has gotten so sweet when it comes to the Word of God, I said something, people can't even take preaching anymore. Because, well, they done got on them sweets. They done got filled up on them sweets. Oh, I tell you, Pastor. Was the Bible shared? Oh, no, but it was so good in there. I'm telling you right now, we didn't need the Bible. Something wrong somewhere. Sweets, hey, we got it. Y'all hungry this morning? Well, I'm in a rough place. Y'all hungry this morning? How many of y'all feel like you need something from God? I know there's at least one here this morning that needs something from God. He done openly said it. Because you know what? He's got to travel back down to Atlanta. To a situation that none of us would want to be in. But what if it's you? What if it's me? What do we do then? Them sweets ain't going to help you. I'm going to tell you what's going to help us. It's going to be the meat and the milk of the Word of God that's going to help us through the long dark night. Though my heart be overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Can I say we've got to be empty? We can't already be full if we're going to receive and digest the Word of God because it's milk. Now I want you to notice, as a chef or a cook, how many of y'all like watching them chef shows? Man, I love watching those chef shows, them cooking. How many of y'all like watching them cooking competitions? I do too, man. What is that one we watch on Sunday night? The champion, Tournament of Champions. Man, they get in there and they cook all that food and they put that stuff together, and I thought, my goodness. But you know what? Oh, Antonio LaFossa, she came in second place on that Tournament of Champions. And you look at all that food, and Manit Chauhan beat her. And as watching all that, I was like, man, that stuff looks good. But you know what I've learned? No matter if Manit Chauhan was here this morning, and if Monique was here, and she was sweating and fixing, I mean, a gourmet meal for all of us, she could spend all that time. And man, it can look beautiful, and you can say, man, that looks really good. Y'all know what? It ain't going to, listen to me. It ain't going to help a bit if you're not there to eat it. Can I give a little spiritual instruction, analogy? What do you think I do all week? I'm going to tell you what I do all week. I pray, I read, I study, and I'm going to be honest with you, I languish and sweat over a message. You say, well, who knows that? Well, ask Miss Kyla, she's here some, but there's days I have to just shut myself up in my office because that's all I got to preach, and I don't want to come up here with some leftovers. I don't want to come, I don't want y'all to ever come here and there's something that I just threw out for you. Here's y'all some slop, have at it. No, I sweat, I languish, I pray, I'll birth that message in my office throughout the whole week. And just as it would be disheartening to a chef or a cook that spent hours and hours and hours preparing for a physical meal and people not show up, I'm going to tell you why preachers get discouraged today. Because they're languishing, praying, sweating, putting it all in to try to prepare messages. And boy, how discouraging if nobody shows up to eat. But I thank God we got a good group here this morning. I hope we're all here ready to eat. So I pray here today we desire the sincere milk and the meat of the Word of God. So why milk? Why did God use sincere milk or the Word? Why does the Lord compare His Word to like milk? I have a few. Number one, this is simple, elementary things. But milk is good to nourish the body. Y'all remember that old milk does the body good? What's milk do? It strengthens your bones. If it's digested properly, it will help you with your blood. Hey, listen, can I just say, I believe that's a good comparison to the Word of God. The more you're around it, the more strong you'll get. And it look here, it'll give you some good spiritual bones. Amen? I believe I know why God used milk. It's good to nourish the body. And the milk, I'm going to tell y'all right now, there's nothing that will nourish your body better than this. Hey, number two, real quick, milk is the proper food for children, for babies. Now, all newborn babies, it's amazing. That's all they eat. And I found out something about this. It nourishes them and they don't eat anything else as they're newborn. That's all they crave. That's all they want. And by the way, everything in that milk, especially a mama's milk, listen to me, supplies every nourishing thing they need in their body. That's amazing to me. But boy, God sure does know what He's talking about when He calls the Bible the sincere milk of the Word, because I've learned this, just like newborn babes, we grow and we thrive when we just have this to eat. And nothing else. I'll never forget it. There was a man named Barney Lord. He's in heaven now, but he was on Skid Row for years. He would sleep on the corners and wrap himself up in newspaper. And he would hobo on trains. And praise God, one day he got up to Indiana, Gary, Indiana. He went into a mission and he had a bottle of wine in his back pocket. And he said, boy, I got to eat. I haven't showered in days. I went in and said, look, can y'all give me a shower, a little bit of food? They said, yeah, but you got to stay for the preaching first. He said, well, I'll sit in the back. He said, if it gets too heavy in here, I'm going to get up out of here. And he said, old Barney was sitting in the back. He said, but that old guy got to preach, and he started preaching on the woman at the well and said the Lord knew everything about that woman. And boy, old Barney got convicted sitting back there. And he said, boy, Lord, if you know everything about this woman, I ain't hiding nothing from you. He said, it got so hot in there. He said, I had to get up out of there. He said, I went out the back door. But he said, when I tried to get out the back door, they done locked it. He said, he's a step ahead of me. He said, I didn't have anything else to do. He said, man, I just came down the aisle and just fell on the aisle and just started praying and asking God to save him. He said, well, the preacher came down off the pulpit with him and came down and was praying with him. And that old preacher reached back in his back pocket and he threw that bottle of wine underneath, said, you won't need that no more. And he said, I got saved. And he said, man, that preacher loved me so much, he took me home. He put me in a padded room for 3 weeks. He said, I seen spiders, monkeys coming off that alcohol. And he said, all I had in there was a Bible. Guess what? That's all he needed. Then he went off to a camp. That preacher said he was wise enough, took him off, sent him off to a camp. And he said, Mark, I'm telling you right now, he said, all we did at that camp was eat, pray, and read the Bible. Eat, pray, and read the Bible. He said, that's all we did for 2 weeks. He said, and praise God, when I come up out of that camp, he said, I knew one thing. I was a Baptist. Because he said, when I started reading that Word of God and started seeing the doctrines of the Bible, he said, I learned, man. I found out some things about what God taught. You know what? Here's the point. It's all he needed. By the way, it's all you need. You say, well, Pastor, all I've got is a Bible. Well, you're in good shape. That's all you need. Hey, babies come from the womb. Here's the third thing. Babies come from the womb craving that milk. How many of y'all have ever had to wake your babies up to feed them? Now, normally what you're doing is saying, please sleep through the night. What do they do? They wake you up. Why? Because they crave the milk. Now it's getting ready to get to preaching time. They crave milk. How many of y'all know babies crave milk? Well, let me ask you a question. How many Christians here crave the milk of the Word? That's a pretty powerful application. Something's wrong spiritually with a person who does not desire the milk of God's Word. A baby, something would be wrong with that baby if that baby didn't wake you up craving milk. But boy, we live in a society now where Christians, oh, I don't need to read that Bible that much. I don't have a desire to. Something's wrong. Can I say this about milk? Milk has a healing, restorative quality. And here's what's amazing. It's good for someone who's lean or needs to put on some weight. Now, never had to do this. Never had to do this. But I know people. I have a preacher friend, and they put him on them. He would eat a full meal, and then he'd have to eat those milk-based protein shakes. Because the doctor told him, and I think I'd croak if I had a doctor ever look at me and say, Brother Mark, you need to put on more weight. You know what they're telling me? Hey, Brother Mark, you're fat. But let me tell you why milk's good. Milk will make you fat. And you know what? This milk right here will make you spiritually fat. I'll amen my own preaching. Amen, preacher. Make you fat. Now, that's the only good kind of fat we need. It won't hurt your cholesterol. Won't hurt your blood pressure. Now, strong meat. The Word of God, He likens unto milk, and we all understand why. I've just given four reasons. But what about this strong meat? Now, I want you to go, take your precious Bible, turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, and we're going to look at a passage of Scripture here that I hope and pray that you'll get in the fleshly tablets of your heart. We're going to expound on this a minute, and here I'm going to teach some more. And I hope you have ears to hear, and I hope you have a heart to receive. Hebrews chapter 5, look at verse 11. These are powerful passages of Scripture. Notice what he calls the Word of God. Hebrews chapter number 5, verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use, having their senses exercised. Here it is now, to discern both good and evil. Now, real quick, I'm going to turn over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to read it, and then we're going to stay here mostly tonight. The Bible says in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it. Neither now are ye able." Now, if you know anything about the Word of God, the 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians was really a letter of rebuke to all the Christians there was at the Corinth church. But here God likens His Word to strong meat. Now, let's expound. In Hebrews chapter 5, I want you to notice, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing." Now, let me just break that down and be simple with you. Here's what the preacher's saying. And I understand this. There's a lot of things I can say, but I have to be careful. Because if I open up the whole toolbox on all of y'all today, some of you'd be scared to death. Some would get offended. Here's what the Bible says. He said, "Of whom we have many things to say." I don't know of any preacher that doesn't have many things to say. And by the way, they're usually profitable. I was sitting in a hospital the other day with a young man. I know maybe to him it seemed arrogant. I wasn't trying to be arrogant. But he asked me a question. And I said to him, "Now you've asked. So now you've given me the thought that you actually want to know." So I said, "I'm going to tell you." When I did, I looked at him and I started comparing things, and here's what I said. I said, "Now you do understand, I'm not just talking now." I said, "Do you understand what I mean?" And the young man said, "Absolutely." He said, "I'm listening." You say, why? Because there's many things to be said. There's many things to be taught from the Word of God. But here's the truth is, many times we can't share them with people because, number one, they have no desire to hear them. And if I, as a pastor, butt in somebody's business without them asking me, normally what it does is offend people. But it's still, we have plenty to say. We have many things to say. And I'm not just running my mouth. But here's what he said. "Seeing you're dull of hearing." In other words, dull of hearing, they're not going to get it. They're not going to hear it. They don't want to hear it. You can fill in the blank. Look at the next verse. God help me here. "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers," God help us there. "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." Now here's what this means. I shared with someone not long ago, and they were going through something, and I looked at this man, and older I've gotten, the more maybe brazen I've gotten, because I understand what I need and what people need and what the Lord wants. But I said to this gentleman, I said, "Look, you're not just going through this to lean on me. You're not just going through this to get the sympathy from me. You're not just going through this, and I'm being honest, to leech off of me. Please understand me. Not to leech. I'm afraid we live in a Christian society today where people just want to leech on somebody stronger. God says, you should be teaching. You should be helping somebody." How many of you ever watched that old movie, Facing the Giants? Isn't that a powerful movie? There's one scene in particular. Now, if y'all know any different, don't ruin my illustration. Because I really don't know who the man was. But there's a scene in that movie that spoke to me. The coach was in his office. Now, he was the leader. He was the coach of the football team. He was also a teacher in the school, so he was a leader. So everybody knew to go to him to get help. He was teaching people. But there's one scene where he gets discouraged. He doesn't know where God wants him there or not. He's just discouraged. And I don't know, it could have been a preacher, but the way I always view, y'all remember that man that had the beard and glasses and he went walking in the hall and every day he prayed over those lockers? I don't think he was a preacher. For some reason in my mind, I just thought he was a deacon in the church or just a good man in the church that didn't have the title pastor, teacher, or coach. And he's walking down the hall, he's praying over one of them lockers. And man, the coach is in there. He's the leader. He's the teacher. He's the one that everybody comes to. Here walks this man under there. And one day, man, just stops in his office. He said, "The Lord brought me by here today to tell you something, coach." And he opened the Bible and he read a verse. He said, "Now God's not done with you." I thought, man, who told that man that? God told him that. I'll never forget it. I'm getting chill bumps on my neck right now just thinking about it. He walks down the hall. The coach says, hey, come here. He said, "Did God really tell you to stop in here?" He said, "Yep." He said, "I know he did." He said, "Well, I've been praying and asking God to work and move." He said, "I just don't see him doing it here." And here's what that old deacon or whoever he was, he looked at him. He said, "Let me tell you a story. There were two farmers that both needed rain badly. Their crops were dying." He said, "They both need rain badly." He said, "One of the farmers prepared his field for the rain. The other one just prayed for rain." He said, which one do you think got the rain?" He said, "The one that prepared his fields." And the coach looked at that preaching deacon. And that deacon looked at him or whoever he was. He said, "Which one are you?" You could cut the conviction. If that would have been me, I would have cut the conviction like a knife in there. And by the way, I'm glad we have some men in here that's walked by my office and listened to me. I ain't planting no farm. I don't have a football team. But I'm going to tell you right now, I've had some wise men that ain't preachers or teachers stop by my office and they became my teacher. Which are you? Do you want to be taught all your life? I told this young man the other day, I said, "Listen, God's allowed you to go through some things." And I said, here's what I told him. Please understand me. I said, "You can help me. You can help me." Babies can't teach. And let me just say this. Age does not mean maturity in the Christian life. I'm saddened to tell you, I know people that's in their 70s and they've never grown spiritually like God wanted them to grow. They've never grown. They'd rather take that position. "Well, I can't do that," or "I won't do that," or "I just don't feel comfortable doing that." By the way, you think I'm comfortable this morning? But I know this, I know people need help. And if we don't help and teach people from the Bible, where are they going to get it? They're going to get it from the news. They're going to get it from the psychologist. They're going to get it from some counselor that never opens a Bible. Listen to me, church. We ought to all desire not to be, listen to me, babies. We should all want to grow and be teachers. What are we going to tell our children? You know what encourages me? When a mom and dad can lead their children to the Lord. I'll help you, but listen to me. I'm glad my mom is sitting with a broken wrist this morning, but I thank God she could show me who Jesus was. She took me to the Bible and showed me how to be saved. See, many should be teaching themselves, but always in need for themselves. And by the way, I love doing what I do, and I love being here. And I love helping people, and I want God to continue to help. But I feel like I'm failing if you can't help yourself too. How do you do that? By strong meat. See, verse 14, here's what the Bible says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses. You say, well, Pastor, how do you know when someone can take strong meat? Because they can discern right and wrong for themselves. God gives them discernment themselves. Look at the verse there in verse 14. Strong meat is meant for the profound to mature, requires spiritual understanding and wisdom. Here's what the Bible says. Look at that verse and mark it in verse 14. Who by reason of use have their, mark that little word there, T-H-E-I-R, there, that's of possession, there, not like there, like in the place, T-H-E-I-R, you or me, we, our senses, we can, I can, you can put your name there, can sense between evil and right and wrong. Look at the next one here real quick. I'll go on. Let me just say, strong meat is not food for babies. Why? Y'all know as well as I do, we're not going to give Teddy a chicken leg. Why? He's going to get choked on it. We're not going to give a baby a chicken leg. Why? Because he'll get choked on it. By the way, if you try to give too strong a meat to a baby Christian, I'm going to tell you what, they'll get choked on it, and here's what will happen. They get mad. So we have to be wise. Strong meat's not for babies. Can I just say this? But as you grow, as a baby grows, it can take table food. And by the way, I say to all of the mothers, get them on table food as soon as you can. Let them try them potatoes mashed up. Amen. It ain't going to hurt them. I can tell I'm on an island there. But we're talking about strong meat and milk. Now, I'm going to get real with y'all and then I'm going to close. I'm going to get real with you. I'm just going to be real honest and real. Y'all ready? Sunday mornings, 98% milk. Sunday mornings, 98% milk. Why? I think any pastor that has any wisdom at all, Sunday morning is mainly milk. Now let me just speak for me. Sunday night, for me, in this church, most pastoral messages, most ground that we gained, Sunday night. Meat. Real meat. That's when I normally preach all of my pastoral messages. That's where I feel like I'm more comfortable dealing with things that people can handle it, they can take it. So, Wednesday night, 50-50. Now, for me, that's different because most preachers will tell you, Wednesday night. Wednesday night. But see, half my Wednesday night crowd's teaching children. So if I want the whole crowd to be able to hear it, my meat, our meat's on Sunday night. How many of y'all like T-bone? Amen. Y'all like T-bone? Y'all raise your hand. How many of y'all like beef? Now, I'm not going to stop till everybody raises their hand. How many of y'all like meat? But then get back tonight. Meat. We all need it. Babies need milk. Adults need meat. So I'm just telling you, you say, Pastor, why is it important to attend every time the doors open? Because you're going to get fed meat. But listen to me. Most people are completely fine and satisfied just eating milk. Now I want to say this real quick. Because God requires, He says, that we're going to compare my word like milk and meat. Now I'm going to ask y'all a question. How many of y'all know that anybody that's healthy today and they eat one meal a week? We don't even eat just one meal every day. Now, I'm getting ready to go to Africa. They have one meal a day. One. They have meal. It's right around lunch. But, of course, they would eat more. They don't have it to have. They don't have it. They have one meal a week. How many of y'all only have one meal a week physically? How many of y'all have two meals a week? A week. Just two meals? Anybody? Does anybody here only have three meals a week? Physically. You sit down at the table or you eat only three times. So y'all skip lunch most of the time. Anybody do that? Of course not. Of course not. How many of you think would be healthy if we only had three meals a week? But it's amazing we live in a society today where honestly Christians think they're going to be healthy with one meal a week. Or two meals a week. Or three meals a week. And if we're lucky, we get four. We got to get meat. If we knew what was going on behind the scenes in our country, God's already given us a little glimpse of what's going on in our country. The Bible says we're not dealing with flesh and blood, that we're dealing with spiritual wickedness in what? High places. If God could open up, and I'm glad we don't, that we could see the spiritual realm right now, we'd all be scared to death. Of the satanic attacks that are going on even in this building. Going in our homes. Going in our children's lives. Listen to me. We need strong Christians that knows the Bible. That can teach others milk and meat. Every daddy here ought to desire to be their children and their family's greatest preacher. Every daddy. Every daddy here ought to be desire to be the greatest preacher and teacher ever for their family. I don't want to be. I want you to be. But if you'll come here and listen to the Word of God, it'll help you. Now today, are you saved? You have to know Jesus as your Savior. You trust Him by faith. If you're here this morning, you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can be saved today. I invite you. Let's stand to our feet. I promise if you're able to come back tonight, there'll be some helpful things said. Not because I'm saying them, because they come from the Bible. With head bowed and eyes closed this morning, can I just ask? You don't even have to raise your hand, you don't have to do anything, but just in your heart. If the Lord has spoken to you about something, say yes to Him. She's going to play something quickly. I'm just going to ask right where you sit. Now, if you need to be saved, we'll have someone take the Bible. You come on. We'll have someone take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. Lord, I pray you'll help us now. Our appetite. How good is it? How long does it stay? I pray you'll work in all of our hearts. Get us excited about eating. Because we certainly live in a world that needs what we have. So I pray you'll help us work in our hearts in Jesus' name.